The story of dollars and services is an ongoing one in much of the region, and it's especially acute in the counties of Western Oregon, which still get half of the revenue from federal timber sales on BLM lands, the former O&C lands. The formula worked well for the counties when lots of timber was being cut. These days, it is not. So the county budgets keep shrinking and services along with them. Two of the hardest hit counties, Curry and Josephine, are asking voters to raise property taxes for public safety in the May 19th election. Ballots went out over the weekend, and we'll talk about Curry today and Josephine tomorrow. This hour is divided up. We'll start with the supporters of ballot measure 881, 8-81 if you prefer. John Ward is the Curry County Sheriff. Welcome, Sheriff.
Good morning.
And with him as well is Jan Barbas, who's a member of the Sheriff's Advisory Committee in Curry County. Welcome, Jan.
Good morning.
Would you give us, Sheriff, just an idea of the recent picture of county funding and how it has affected the sheriff's office, including the departure of your predecessor, I understand?
Right. Back in October, I was appointed sheriff, and I talked to our county commissioners and our county finance director and county council. And at that time, I was looking forward to see, you know, what our funding is going to look like for the next year through our, I know we were budgeted 14 and 15, but we didn't know what was going to happen in 15, 16. They had no solutions to fund law enforcement past the 14, 15 budget and maybe stretch it into maybe toward December of 2015. So, you know, we've had cuts, you know, going on for several years, and I'm down to four deputies. So I wanted to figure out a way to fund us through another year and get stable funding and adequate funding. My idea was to get a law enforcement district started, so I reached out to the citizens of Curry County and gave them my idea. Got several people applied to be on our citizens advisory group, and then we started working on forming a district. Unfortunately, we didn't have enough time to get a district formed before this May's ballot and to get us some funding, you know, for the next few years. So we decided that we needed to bridge it from this point on until we could get the district formed. So they came up with a three-year split rate tax levy, and we did that. We got it on a ballot, and we had a political action committee out there doing the promoting of it, and that's where we are at this point.
When you say not a district formation, how would the district have been set up? I know Curry County has a library district. Is it a similar sort of concept?
It'd be a similar kind of concept, and we kind of model it after Deschutes County over in Bend. They have a law enforcement district, actually two districts. It's a District 1, District 2, and it's also basically a split rate levies or a district over there.
Curry County is not a huge county, I know, but it'll still take you an hour to drive, say, from Brookings to Port Orford. And with four deputies, what's it like trying to patrol that county?
We only have coverage right now from 8 in the morning till basically midnight, and that's one deputy on usually a shift. They overlap in the middle of the week on a Wednesday, and we have a little bit more coverage. But we have no coverage after midnight, and if something happens, which often does, we have to call a supervisor to get authorization to have a deputy come out on overtime to handle the call. And usually they're handling violent calls and the domestics by themselves, which is kind of a recipe for disaster, if you ask me.
So there's no backup?
With no backup.
Now, there are city police departments in both Gold Beach and Brookings. Is that right?
That is correct. Brookings is the only 24/7 coverage for their patrol. The rest of the county, there is no coverage on after midnight.
And how about Port Orford? What does it do for police coverage?
Police coverage up there, they have one chief and two officers. And they do not have any coverage after midnight as well. And it's usually just one police officer on at a time.
But that's pretty much the whole situation for the county then. I mean, you got three little cities with their own police forces, but everything else is up to your department to cover.
Yes, and being the chief law enforcement officer of the county, you know, it's my job to protect all citizens, and I find it very, very difficult to try and do that with four deputies.
Jan Barbas, tell us about the work that you've done on the Sheriff's Advisory Committee. I'm curious to know what the sorts of things you guys had to mull over and how to move ahead here.
Well, first we looked at what we felt was the appropriate level of service for the county. The sheriff put up a proposal to start us off. we looked at that, and we looked at the status quo. We felt that the status quo was not working, that it was we're losing officers because of the unstable funding, and we're having difficulty hiring because of the unstable funding. And also, we have a relatively low pay rate. So we lose officers to other jurisdictions, and the level is it's just not sustainable. These guys are we looked at the liability from the as taxpayers, you know, if one of these guys goes out alone and into a violent situation and somebody gets hurt, we're going to be stuck with the bill as taxpayers. And so we felt that we've got to correct this situation and get this to a sustainable track. So the level we've proposed would bring us to 12 deputies for road patrol, and that'll bring us to 24/7 coverage with backup. As you pointed out, it's about, I think, 120 miles one end of the county to the other, and we need to have officers on at each end of the county. And then we're hoping to get the jail back up to 25 beds. Right now, we're concerned the jail may have to close if we don't fund this, and that would be a disaster for the county. But if we do fund it, we're at 25 beds now, and we're hoping to bring it with stable funding to 35 beds.
All right, so 25 beds in the county jail right now, which doesn't sound like a lot, but again, Curry is not a heavily populated county. We're talking to Jan Barbas, who's a member of the Sheriff's Citizen Advisory Committee in Curry County, and Sheriff John Ward himself in Curry County, about ballot measure 8-81, which is a three-year serial property tax levy for Curry County to restore some services lost. And you've heard what the services lost are. If you're just joining us, you can join the conversation. 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. 800-838-3760. Email is jx@jeffnet.org. Sheriff, we kind of talked about the fact that you got appointed last October, but your predecessor did resign over the situation, didn't he?
That was the biggest part of it. He accepted a position up north at the Oregon State Sheriff's Association as the executive director, but he was fighting this all along, and he just got tired of the fight. And he knew what was coming, and decided that for his health reasons and his family and everything, he decided to take the job up there.
So let's talk about the basic picture here. I mean, one of the issues that gets pointed out a lot, particularly where Curry County is concerned, and Josephine County as well, and we'll be talking to them about their measure tomorrow, is the very low rate, base rate for property taxes for folks living outside the three cities in Curry County. What is the rate there right now, Jan Barbas, and what are you talking about changing it to with this levy?
The current rate is 0.59 or 60 cents, depending how you round it.
So for every $1,000 in value on your house, you're paying about 60 cents in taxes?
To the county general fund. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of confusion because our overall tax rate is a little bit more. About 94% of our taxes are going to the cities, the districts, the schools, and that sort of thing. But the county general fund tax item, line item, is very low. And what we're proposing is $1.34 per thousand for people who live in, or well, properties situated within city limits, and $2.52 per thousand of assessed value for properties outside of city limits in the unincorporated county. And so it is a significant rise, but again, we're starting from a very low amount, and it's been fixed by Measure 50. We've been unable to respond to these dwindling federal funds and unstable federal funds. And so this gives us 3 years to put the district into place that John mentioned and create a long-term stable solution that we feel will really help Curry County tremendously.
Okay, without getting too lost in the history lesson, Measure 50 is the second half of the two cut and cap ballot measures that Oregonians considered. They rolled the property tax assessments back to a certain level and then kept them from rising more than a bit per year. And there were lots of other provisions in there as well. So with this split rate, with $1.34 per thousand within the three cities in Curry County and $2.52 outside, Jan Barbus, do the people inside and outside the cities end up paying about the same for their municipal slash county services?
Not really. The city taxes are quite high, and they do fund their own police services, amongst other things. And so everybody will pay $1.34, and that covers the jail, parole, and probation. Our civil deputy, which is a critical function, they handle restraining orders and other court papers and concealed handgun permits, and also cover our search and rescue and marine and forest patrols and dispatch 911 and also emergency services. Those are all in the base rate. And so that would apply to people in cities as well as to people in the unincorporated areas. And then the split adds $1.18. So $1.34 plus $1.18 brings you to the $2.52 for unincorporated. And that's just the unincorporated patrol, because the cities have their own patrol. But your question was about the relative rates of payments. Brookings pays about $2.80 per thousand assessed value for their police function, Port Orford about $2.90, and Gold Beach somewhere in the same range. And so we're looking at $1.18 for the unincorporated patrol function.
All right, so essentially you're not trying to, in fact, they'll still end up paying somewhat less, it seems like, outside city limits than the folks inside the city limits would.
Considerably less. So Brookings city tax is $3.76 per thousand, and we're looking at $2.52.
We're talking about Curry County Measure 881, which is designed to bring in some money for public safety services in the county. Jan Barbus is a Sheriff Citizen Advisory Committee member. Sheriff John Ward is with us as well. We will talk to the opponents after our break at the bottom of the hour. You can join us here on the Jefferson Exchange with your questions or comments about the whole situation with county funding in places like Curry County and specifically what is going on with this ballot measure. The phone number here is 800-838-3760. That works anywhere in our listening area. 800-838-3760. The email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Sheriff, since there are some parallels certainly with what's going on in Curry County and in neighboring Josephine County, I know that Josephine County has gotten a little bit of backstopping from the Oregon State Police as it has gotten into a situation where its patrol deputies were few and far between as well. Do you get the same kind of backup from the Oregon State Police that's been going on in Josephine County?
Yes, but there's not as many of the state troopers in our area that there is in Josephine County. The reason they moved their state police in there is because of no law enforcement whatsoever, really. And I think I couldn't tell you the numbers over there, but it's in the teens of how many troopers they have. I think we have four here. So they don't have coverage after midnight as well, most of the time. And they're out there on single and we use them for backup when they're available.
Mm-hmm. All right. So now, if this levy passes, and again, this is a 3-year serial levy split rate, $1.34 if you live in one of the three cities in Curry County, $2.52 in the unincorporated areas, you'll be able to staff up. We've made that clear. How quickly could you staff up, though? I wonder if some of the people who've been laid off from the Curry County Sheriff's Office are still around, available for rehire, or if you have to start the whole process from ground zero.
Well, we're having trouble right now, and we have a lot of high turnover in on our jail deputies. In fact, we're just losing another one to another county because of the instability of our funding. I do have people that said they would love to come here and work, but I can't guarantee them employment after 6 to 8 months. Like if this thing, one of the questions is, if this thing doesn't pass, what are you going to do? Well, we've been told to try to do a status quo budget. Well, the status quo budget isn't working for us because there's no stability in it. And So I can't offer people employment after we'll be in the same boat this time next year, you know, doing the same thing of trying to figure out how do we fund ourselves. And I've been told next year it's even going to be even worse because we'll be gone through all the reserves that we've had. And that's even using road funds as well.
Which have to be paid back at some point, don't they?
Sometimes I hear both, you know, both ways. They say some that you do and some that you don't. I don't see that we'll ever be able to pay it back when we borrow. And I'm not a proponent of taking road funds. What I've been told is road funds, it's a federal law that they're supposed to be used for road funds only, for the roads. And then the state steps in and says, well, we're going to let the county use some of that money for patrol and indirect cost of patrol. And I was told if they continue to do that the way they are, we'll be out of our road funds 5 to 6 years. And I understand Josephine County is out of their road funds already.
So what kind of situation have you had with people having to act as their own police? I mean, much has been said about what's been going on, and I'm sorry to keep comparing it to Josephine County, but they're right next door and in a similar situation. What kind of vigilante efforts have you had or community watches that are rising sort of above to that level, to actually to the level of patrol? What sorts of efforts have you had like that in Curry County?
Yeah, and get back to the Josephine Curry thing is a border doesn't really mean anything. We're right next door to each other. So, and I'm sure we have a lot of unreported crime as well, because people know that we can't respond to a lot of things. They just don't call in. We got people saying, well, you know, we got a gun and a big dog. Well, you know, I don't know how that worked. And it's just opening that door to taking crime on and taking it in their own hands to try to solve something. Who does the investigation? Who's going to clean up afterwards? And you need qualified, certified deputies to be able to do the investigation and handle the situation properly.
We're talking again about the levy in Curry County, a 3-year serial levy to fund public safety services. John Ward, you just heard, is the sheriff. Jan Barbas is a sheriff citizen advisory committee member. You can join us in the few minutes we have left here. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Jan, what kind of work did you have to go through to calculate what the tax rates would be under this proposal? Was it just uniformly lower than what was proposed last time? And you have the split rate in there as well. But, I mean, how did you base the rate on what you thought people would vote for, cross-referenced with what you needed for services?
Yes. We looked at what the sheriff originally asked us for. We looked at the status quo. We then came up with this level of service. It's well below what former Sheriff Bishop was asking for, well below historic levels, and well below what Sheriff Ward originally asked us for, but does add 5 people above the status quo to a level that we feel will be a long-term sustainable level and will bridge us into the future law enforcement service district that we hope to ask the voters to pass in a year or a year and a half or so.
Is there any constitutional issue with the split rate? I wonder about that, about the, you know, the fact that depending on where you live, you're going to pay a different rate for the same service.
We don't believe so. The Oregon Supreme Court has addressed that issue. Article 1, Section 11 of the Oregon Constitution says that voters of subjects is the word that's used in the Constitution. It means people subject to the tax. Subjects of the same class have to be taxed the same. But the Oregon Supreme Court has looked at what is the same class, who are subjects of the same class, and where there is a genuine difference in their situation, and that difference relates to a purpose of the tax, and the difference in the tax is rationally related to that difference, then the Oregon Supreme Court has held that split rates are permissible. And in other words, those subjects are a different class. And we feel we meet that criteria because the split relates to patrol. The cities already have their own patrol, and the dollar amount is the cost of the patrol. So we feel we meet all the tests that the Oregon Supreme Court has placed before us.
Now, I noticed that on Measure 881, there's a provision to reduce the amount levied in property taxes any year that federal money arrives, and there has been another one-year addition of Secure Rural Schools funding. So would that mean a reduction potentially in property taxes in the first year of this levy, should it pass?
What will happen, should it pass, the Citizens Advisory Group will meet and make a recommendation to the County Board of Commissioners. Until that group actually does meet and the County Commissioners vote, can't make any guarantees, but I certainly expect that there will be a reduction.
How do you guys, it seems to be a fair amount of sentiment like what I saw in a letter to the editor last week, which was somebody saying that Curry County is a wonderful place to retire. Please vote no. In other words, I'm glad I'm here. I don't need any more services or something along those lines. How do you counter that aspect and, while at the same time, try to ride the line between working to ensure safety and trying not to scare people?
It's hard. John mentioned the big dog and the gun idea. We hear that a lot. And what I tell people is, you know, if you're hearty and healthy and you've got your gun and you're at home, yeah, you're going to, you know, protect your property and your life. But I don't know how that helps with your kids walking to school, or maybe there's somebody in your family that's in a wheelchair or a little bit older, or maybe you have property, maybe you have a boat down at the port or a storage locker or a business elsewhere, and you know, you can't be everywhere. So we depend on law enforcement to reduce the chances that you'll ever need to do that kind of defense, and to keep us less likely to need to use that gun.
All right, Measure 881 is on the ballot in Curry County, a three-year serial levy, split rate levy, different rates inside and outside the cities in Curry County. Jan Barbas is a sheriff's citizen advisory committee member. John Ward is the county sheriff, and we'll be getting to the opponent's side in about 6 minutes. Thank you, gentlemen, for joining us today on The Exchange.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you.